Hello, I'm Eric the Mouse. I live in the Zipster's kitchen. I just come up to the studio to find out what he's doing. Sounds interesting.
Yes, hello and welcome to show 20 of the Zip & Co. podcast show from Weymouth, Dorset, UK. This is a special show because it has a theme, a cheesy theme. From Gorgonzola to cheddar, we are not cheese bias on this show. We eat any kind of cheese.
Have you tried the new aerosol cheese? It's cheese-erific.
On this special show, we've got more Podsafe music from Big George Jackson, Bo Ho, and a lot more, all from the Podsafe Music Network. I'll put a link to their websites on my show notes. We've got 10 cheese facts you didn't know. We've got cheese clips. We've got a couple of exclusive interviews, one with Mark Anderson from the Sandworld, the newly opened Sandworld exhibit here in Weymouth, and a representative of Fisticuffs. No, it's not that. They are a group of game players here in Weymouth who recently held a get-together at Weymouth Pavilion. So, that's it for the moment. No, it isn't. No, don't turn off. We've got a complete show to go yet. Okay, let's have some music, shall we? This is Big George Jackson and Cross-Eyed Annie.
Cross-eyed Annie was a friend of mine. Yeah, cross-eyed Annie was a friend of mine. We used to get together and have one wheel of a time. But that cross-eyed Annie, the woman sure could drink. Cross-eyed Annie, the woman sure could drink. She used to pour out liquor like her throat was a sink. Yeah, cross-eyed Annie, the woman sure loved to flirt. Cross-eyed Annie, the woman sure loved to flirt. She used to run around town, getting her feelings hurt. Yeah, cross-eyed Annie, the woman sure loved to dance. Yeah, cross-eyed Annie, the woman sure loved to dance. She used to get stone drunk. Should have seen a friend. She hit a man so hard of sight. Yeah, 'cause I'd had it.
Cheesemakers.
Tonight on the Main Event Movie, a detective, an ex-con, a wealthy debutante, a streetwise kid, and a special effects artist, all with one thing in common: the perfect crime. That is, until a mobster, another ex-con, a banker, a sexy call girl, and a man of the cloth get involved and make it an almost perfect crime. But then a lawyer, a wife of an ex-con, a taxidermist, a drug dealer, and an aging rock star make it the near impossible crime. Unless they can convince the DA, a crooked politician, a washed-up plastic surgeon, an exotic dancer, and the Catholic Church that it's the only crime. But it could all fall to pieces if a stand-up comic, a disc jockey, a police lieutenant, a high-paid fashion model, a pro ball player, and a homeless vet don't set the stage for the perfect crime. Or will a little boy show them that crime doesn't pay? The crash of Flight 405, tonight on the Main Event Movie. Viewer discretion is advised.
Staff announcement, podcast and lift, thank you.
So the music you heard before the comedy sketch there was Big George Jackson Blues Band with Cross-Eyed Annie, available from the Podsafe Music Network. I shall, of course, add a link to their page on my show notes.
You are listening to Secret Sneeze on the Zip & Go podcast show.
Yes, indeed, you're listening to a special edition of Secret Sneeze for Show 20. On this spot, I'm going to include three sound files of sneezes. Now, the idea is that you tell me who made the sneezes, where they were made, and what the hell's going on here. So you can send me an email to tell me the answers at zipshow, zzipshow at gmail.com. The five best answers, the five first best answers, will receive a Weymouth goodie bag with all kinds of Weymouth information in pamphlets, brochures, all kinds of things. And each pack will also contain a copy of Favorite Cheese and Yogurt Recipes, compiled by Astrid Bartlett, published by Salmon. You've got all kinds of things in here that you can make: grilled brie and walnuts, sweet and savory meringues, granulated potatoes, cheesy Yorkshire puddings, all kinds of cheesy things, because this is a cheese-based show. Okay, this is the first sound for Secret Sneeze this time. Okay, that was Secret Sneeze 1. This is Secret Sneeze 2.
Help me! Help me!
one for the movie buffs, I think, out there. Okay, this is Secret Sneeze 3. So there you have all three secret sneezes. So as I say, send your answers to Zipshow, zzippshow@gmail.com, and you could be in line for a free prize, a free Weymouth info pack and a free book. So that's Secret Sneeze for this time.
You are listening to Secret Sneeze on the Zip & Co podcast show.
Let's have some more music now from the Podsafe Music Network. This is Bo Hall, and Does That Make You Feel Good? Makes me feel good.
You pooped in the refrigerator, and you ate a whole wheel of cheese? How'd you do that? It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Recently, after work at 7 a.m., I hung around town as I'm wont to do and paid a visit to the newly opened Weymouth Sand World Sand Sculpture Park. Now, the Sculpture Park is the brainchild of Mark Anderson, who is the co-founder and director, and David Hicks, who is the co-founder and director also. Mark took over the Weymouth Seafront exhibition from his tutor and grandfather, Fred Darrington, which 90 years later continues to enchant visitors with amazing sand creations. He's a world-class sand sculptor master and exhibited and competed throughout the world. And David Hicks. David is a local businessman and entrepreneur with a background in construction. He was inspired to become involved in the world of sand sculpting following a visit to the Prieste di Sabbia in Gisolo, where his good friend Mark was working in 2005. So I now include an interview with Mark Anderson I did on that morning, that very early beautiful morning of the first opening. Here is the interview. I hope you enjoy it. Oh, by the way, I will include a link to the Sandworld Weymouth Sculpture Park on my show notes. Here's the interview. And we are here at Sandworld this morning, which is just newly opened this morning.
10:30 this morning, 22nd of April 2011.
Great. And people are here.
People are here and enjoying our new fantastic all-weather attraction.
Yeah, and you've had sand sculptors from all over the world come to do this.
Indeed, yes. We've had 10 of the best sand sculptors in the world, and they've produced some of the finest sand work I've seen in the world. So
it is.
It's really fantastic stuff.
It is. And how long has it taken you to put this together?
I've been working on the idea for 2 years now. We've been going through the planning process, etc., to sort the site out and get it developed. Over the last 3 months, we've been working every single day, 12, 16 hours a day, to get a piece of barren land turned into this fantastic all-weather visitor attraction,
right,
indeed.
It is.
Yeah, in this beautiful part of Weymouth, which is Lodmore Country Park. As you can hear in the background, you've got the birds singing, the sun's shining, and everybody's happy. It's really very, very fine down here.
Can you give the listeners an idea of how you started?
Yeah, of course. My grandfather was Fred Darrington, and he was the Weymouth sand sculptor from the mid-20s up until 1995, when he was 85 years old. He had a stroke, and that sort of put him out of action. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with having him as my grandfather and the Weymouth Sandman, so it's always been with me. And I was his apprentice from the age of 22, and we worked together for 8 years, or I worked for him and under him for 8 years. And then I've been working independently over the last 15 years or so, going around the world doing various events and competitions, etc., meeting, you know, all these people that that we've brought across in the last last month, in fact. And so, yeah, it was really a combination of going to these events and seeing how things are done across the seas, and looking at it. I've got a business partner, Dave Hicks, who's from Yeovil, who's very, very good at organising things and doing project management. So I invited him to become my business partner and take on that role, because I'm not particularly organised. I'm sort of more art-based and...
Sure.
So Dave accepted that role, which is excellent, and he came in as a 50-50 investor, and so we've worked on this together solidly over the last 6 months or so, and we've also had a fantastic lady, Trudy Braithwaite, working for us as our PR and marketing manager, and she's been steering us in the right directions with regard to all that aspect of the business, our website and all the promotions, etc., etc. So she's got that area covered. Dave's got all of the infrastructure base and the project management side of things covered, and I've got the creative. Also, Dave has been very creative over the process and in the process. So it's all worked extremely well. There have been a couple of moments where it's been quite difficult. Heads have clashed, and fortunately, we've all been able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it wasn't another train coming, so that was good. And we've just had fantastic support from all of the businesses who have been involved in the area, from the Crooks, who are the main contractor, a groundworks contractor. They've come into the area and said, right, okay, we can make this a flat piece of land for you and take care of all the infrastructure that way. Jason at Buildright and his team have been amazing. That's a local company who supply DIY and trade building materials, and they've sorted us out with all of the materials we've needed for the whole process. And then Will Ronald, he's been in over the last week or so doing all of our fencing, and they've done a fantastic job on our paving and fencing. Sticks and Stones have also done a great job on the paving out the front here. Chris Daniels have done that fantastic. See the castle out the front here. Chris Daniels, he's a local conservator, a very well known conservator. He's done work on the King statue and done all the conservation work on that. So yeah, he's designed and built this superb sort of arabesque style castle entrance for us. And then we've just had a really excellent team with Marco and his son Al and Sonny and Joe, Doug, Matt, Ed, and lots more people who have been involved in, you know, just getting everything sorted. Tristan Merlos and his boys doing the electrics, absolutely brilliant again, just giving us help and advice. Dave's brother's come in the last week and he's done all the music for us. So, and then my family, they've been doing all the catering all along, and my sister's got a really fantastic restaurant on Portland called the Blue Fish, and so she's been looking after us food wise and all the artists. So when the artists were here, they were giving them this fantastic English food, and people were like, surprised me. We've just heard bad things about English food, and then, you know, that was completely dispelled because my family is particularly fine cooks and caterers. So that was brilliant. And then the guys from the Loose Moose, they were doing lunches for us, and that was just brilliant as well, because, you know, it's just good food, good fuel, keep us going. All in all, absolutely brilliant. We've just had so much help and support.
It's got an amazing feeling about it.
Good. Well, thank you. I'm glad it comes across, because it's been a really tough process, but very, very rewarding. I've never worked quite so hard in my life. I've got a bit of a reputation as being quite laid back, but on this, there's been no opportunity for me to be laid back at all. It's sort of 12, 16 hours a day, go home, sleep, up again, get down here 7 days a week for the last 3 months, and then before that, it was months of planning and going through a process. So I've lost that well-earned reputation of being, not the hardest working person I know. But saying that, whenever I've done projects, we're up at 6, 7 o'clock, and again, work 12, 16 hours a day. And these are working, you know, for doing a sand project for a large company or a small company. We do whatever it takes to get them done. When I'm, you know, downtime on the beach, I'm a bit more relaxed, and I take my time on things a lot more, you know, so it's a nice, pleasant way of life, which is why one of the reasons I chose to be a sand sculptor was because of just seeing how much my grandfather enjoyed it, and it helped me sort of pinpoint what I wanted to do with these few years we get on this funny little planet. Yes,
as I say, it's just an extraordinary feeling.
Good. Yeah.
So, how can people see more of you? You have a website.
Yes, we have a website. It's sandworld.co.uk, and that gives a good overview of the whole aspect of the sculptors and some of their work. It shows their websites. It gives you information on how to get here. We're open from 10:30 each day up until the 31st of October. Come rain or shine, because as I said, we are all weather, so we're in a massive marquee, and we have external areas also where you can enjoy having a go yourself. There's area for under sixes and an area for over sixes and sort of bigger people. And then there's a demo area which I'll be working on throughout the whole period, which will be a sculpture in progress, to show people the process, which is always a fascinating thing for people to see, because it's often a big question is how do they do that, or you know, so to see
how
it,
keep,
to see it
how
happening.
How do they keep it up?
How does it remain that, you know, it's just sound and water, so that this process shows you exactly how it's done. Unfortunately, we've got the finest beach sand in the world, and this was something I've always thought, but and I've always told the guys whenever I go and visit them, whenever I do jobs around the world, I say, you know, this sounds, whatever sound we're working with, I say it's okay, but wait until you feel the real thing, which is Weymouth Beach sound. And sure enough, they came across here and they were just going ooh ah and making sounds like that. And one girl, Karen, who did the fantastic mermaid sculpture in there, I heard her on her phone to her husband just saying, oh man, she's from Canada, she's going, man, this stuff's like butter, it's so creamy, you know, stuff like that. And then Damon was he was asked on the TV were down, he was saying, what do you think of the sound then, sir? And and he said, yeah, it's I'd like to marry it. So yeah, they said it, this is for them, it's a benchmark event. They said it was one of the probably the best event they've been to as far as infrastructure and the quality of everything that they had here. You know, we just made it very special for them so they could produce their finest work, which they've done. It's,
yes,
it's just tremendous. So just a big thank you to everyone involved. And hopefully looking forward to seeing you come to Soundworld.
Yes. Yes, as I say, I've got a worldwide audience, so we'll see.
Excellent. Okay.
Thanks for the interview, Mark.
Not at all, Pete.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Cheers.
Crazy pencil cup. Crazy pencil cup. Crazy, crazy, crazy pencil cup. Yeah.
Mom, I'm bored.
Why don't you play with your toys, honey?
I hate my toys. They're stupid.
Are your kids bored with their toys? Well, you need an exciting new game from Bally Toys. It's Crazy Pencil Cup.
Yay. How do I play?
Pick up your pencils.
Yeah.
And your pens.
Yeah.
And put them in the cup.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bally Toys. My kids love their new Crazy Pencil Cup.
Don't be fooled by regular pencil cups. Only Crazy Pencil Cup's fun. Only Crazy Pencil Cup's wacky.
Morning, sir.
Morning. I was sitting in the public library in Sermon Street just now, skimming through Rogue Heres by Horace Walpole, when I suddenly came over all peckish.
Peckish, eh?
Esurient.
Eh?
Yabberall, only like.
Ah, hungry.
In a nutshell, sir, I thought to myself, a little fermented curd will do the trick. So I curtailed my Walpoling activities, sallied forth and infiltrated your place of purveyance to negotiate the bending of some cheesy comestibles.
Come again?
I want to buy some cheese!
Ah! I thought you were complaining about the music.
Oh, heaven forbid, I'm one who delights in all manifestations of the Terpsichorean muse.
Sorry?
I like a nice dance, you forced to.
Anyway, who said that?
Now, my good man, some cheese, please.
Yes, certainly, sir. What would you like?
Well, how about a little Red Leicester?
I'm afraid we're fresh out of Red Leicester, sir.
Never mind. How are you on Tilsit?
Never at the end of the week, sir. Always get it fresh first thing on Monday.
Tish, tish. No matter. 4 ounces of kefili, then, if you please, stout yeoman.
Ah, well, it's been on order for 2 weeks, sir. I was expecting it this morning.
Yes, it's not my day, is it? Belpaise?
Sorry.
Red Windsor?
Normally, sir, yes. But today the van broke down.
Ah. Stilton?
Sorry.
Gruyere, Emmental?
No.
Any Norwegian Jarlsberger?
No.
Liptar?
No.
Lancashire?
No.
White Stilton?
No.
Danish Blue?
No.
Double Gloucester?
No.
Cheshire?
No.
Any Dorset Blue Vinny?
No.
Brie, Roquefort, Pont l'Evêque, Port-Salut, Savoyard, Saint-Paulin, Carré de l'Est, Boursin, Brest-Bleu, Pelle de Champagne, Camembert.
Ah, we do have some Camembert.
You do? Excellent.
It's a bit runny, sir.
Oh, I like it runny.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's very runny, sir.
No matter, no matter. Hand over la fromage de la belle France qui s'appelle Camembert, s'il vous plaît.
I think it's runnier than you like it, sir.
I don't care how excrementally runny it is. Hand it over with all speed.
Yes, sir. Oh!
What?
The cat's eaten it.
Pezzy.
Sheesla.
Gouda?
No.
Edam?
No.
Caithness?
No.
Smoked Austrian?
No.
Sage Derby?
No, sir.
You do have some cheese, do you?
Oh, certainly, sir. It's a cheese shop, sir. We've got...
No, don't tell me. I'm keen to guess.
Fair enough.
Winsleydale?
Yes, sir.
Splendid! Well, I'll have some of that then, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were referring to me. Mr. Winsleydale.
Gorgonzola?
No.
Parmesan?
No.
Mozzarella?
No.
Pippo creme?
No.
Any Danish Finbo?
No.
Czechoslovakian sheep's milk cheese?
No.
Venezuelan beaver cheese?
Not today, sir, no.
Well, let's keep it simple. How about cheddar?
Well, I'm afraid we don't get much call for it around these parts, sir.
Much call? It's the single most popular cheese in the world.
Not around these parts, sir.
And pray, what is the most popular cheese round these parts?
Ilchester, sir.
I see.
Yes, sir, it's quite staggeringly popular in the manor, Squire.
Is it?
Yes, sir, it's our number one seller.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
Ilchester, eh?
Right.
Okay, I'm game. Have you got any, he asked, expecting the answer no.
I'll have a look, sir.
It's not much of a cheese shop, really, is it?
Finest in the district, sir.
And what leads you to that conclusion?
Well, it's so clean.
Well, it's certainly uncontaminated by cheese.
You haven't asked me about Limburger, sir.
Is it worth it?
Could be.
Okay. Have you...
Will you shut that bloody dancing up?
I told you so.
Have you got any Limburger?
No.
No, that figures. No, it's pretty predictable, really. It was an act of pure optimism to pose the question in the first place. Tell me something. Do you have any cheese at all?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to ask you that question once more. And if you say no, I'm going to shoot you through the head. Now, do you have any cheese at all?
No.
What a senseless waste of human life.
Let's have some more music now from the Podsafe Music Network. This is Arthur Adams and So Sweet.
Honey, they don't know how good you are for me. some flowers. I'm gonna bring you some candy. I'm starting something.
Yes, specifically for this show, here are 10 cheese facts you didn't know.
Number 10.
Cheese is bought over 98% of British households.
Number 9.
Cheese is a concentrated form of milk. It takes 10 litres of milk to make 1 kilogram of cheddar.
Number 8.
A small matchbox-sized piece of cheddar, 30 grams, contains about 30% of the recommended daily calcium intake for adults. It also contains protein, vitamin B12, phosphorus, and 10.5 grams of fat and 125 calories.
Number 7.
We in England consume around 700,000 tons of cheese a year, including cottage cheese and fromage frais, at home, in restaurants, and in processed food. If you exclude fromage frais and cottage cheese, is about 600,000 tons, which is equivalent to about 10 kilograms per person per year, or 27.4 grams per person per day. Our European counterparts eat almost twice as much cheese as per person per day as we do, mainly because European breakfasts often feature cheese.
Number 6.
The majority of Shropshire blue cheese is not actually made in Shropshire, but in Leicestershire and Nottinghamshire.
Number 5.
Cornish yarg came from a recipe found in a book in a farmer's attic. His name was Mr. Gray. That is yarg, spelt backwards.
Number 4.
Cheddar is named after the Cheddar Gorge Caves in Somerset, where the cheese used to be stored to ripen. Cheddar is one of the most widely made cheeses in the world. King Henry II declared cheddar cheese to be the best in Britain.
Number 3.
Cheshire cheese is one of the oldest British cheeses. It dates from Roman times and even gets a mention in the Domesday Book.
Number 2.
Every spring sees locals in the village of Stilton, Peterborough, race along a course rolling Stilton-shaped wheels.
Number 1.
Egypt brings us the earliest archaeological evidence of cheesemaking, found in tomb murals that date back to 2000 BC. These cheeses were likely to have been very sour and salty. Lots of salt was needed to preserve the cheese in the hot, arid climate, and similar to a cottage cheese or feta in texture, cheeses made in Europe didn't require as much salt because of cooler conditions, thus paving the way for beneficial microbes and molds to form and give aged cheese their interesting and robust flavours.
The top 10 cheese facts from the Zip & Co. podcast show.
Oi, Welly.
Yes, Miss Braun, what have you broken now?
Oh, now go on, Welly. You're still not terse over that little accident I had over... Sorry, what was it again?
The lost crystal skull of Montezuma.
Exactly. As I've been reassigned here...
Temporarily, I pray God on high.
I'm going to have to learn how things run down here. Which brings me to this.
Miss Braun, those are what we call archives. Not really a surprise, as we are currently...
In the archives.
Yes.
Yes, Welly, I know that. But these archives haven't been catalogued.
They haven't?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
These must be lost stories featuring other agents from the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences.
Welly, this one here tells of a 100-year-old madman terrorizing the Dark Continent.
This one chronicles a confirmed haunting.
And glancing at this one, this is a story of the foundation of the Ministry. Welly, this is a find of incredible significance. We need to share these stories.
I'm sorry?
Recently, on the etherwebs, I discovered this quaint notion called a podcast. I think we should take these stories and podcast them across the Empire.
Miss Braun, as we are a clandestine organization within Her Majesty's government, don't you think sharing said stories would be against the rules?
Only if we get caught.
Tales from the Archives, the official Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences anthology, featuring original music from the Gearhearts, Alex White.
Subscribe now at www.ministryofpeculiaroccurrences.com.
Mmm, 64 slices of American cheese. 64? 63? 2? 1?
Have you been up all night eating cheese?
I think I'm blind.
This next interview I'm going to include is a talk with a member of the Levellers gaming group who held a special day in Weymouth Pavilion recently. So, let's now go to Weymouth Pavilion on another beautiful, sunny afternoon.
My name's Stuart. I'm part of the Weymouth War Games group called the Levellers, based in Weymouth in Dorset.
Right, and we are now here at Weymouth Pavilion.
Yes.
On Saturday. Yeah?
Yep.
What is actually happening here?
This is the Weymouth Historical Miniatures Gaming event we hold annually, where various groups in the local area come together to put on a show with traders selling anything from 6mm up to 54mm figures, vehicles, etc. We've also got a large bring and buy where gamers can sell their wares and perhaps buy something new.
And this happens how often?
Every year.
Every year on the same date?
We try to have more or less the same weekend, the bank holiday weekend. Obviously with Easter moving around, the date moves around. But it's normally towards the end of April, early May.
Right. So what kind of games have you got here? You've got sort of medieval games and
we've got
Second World
all
War
periods
and...
from ancient Greeks through the various ages up to the latest conflicts, which could include Iraq, Kuwait. It's whatever the gamers want to put on. We've got a selection today. We've got a 15mm World War One game. We've got a World War Two airborne game based on the battle with the 82nd Airborne breaking through to Arnhem Bridge. We've got a couple of naval games. We've got, just trying to think top of my head, we seem to have an English Civil War game. As I said, we've got an ancients game. We have a few skirmish games. We also have fantasy games, Space Vixen from Mars. For the children to partake in.
Right.
Some of the games are participation, so people can come and play the new rules. We've got Peter Pig with their new Hammer and Iron rule set, recently released this year, which again is a participation game. That's American Civil War Riverine game.
Right.
So there's quite an extensive period that should interest most people.
So have you got a presence on the internet? Have you got a website or...?
No, the group hasn't. There's only about eight of us that actually meet twice a month.
Right.
So we're not really big enough to have a website.
So have you got a
Peter
number?
Peter Pig does sponsor the group, and he has actually got a page on his website where we have our club dates.
Right. So have you got a telephone number that people could call?
It's Peter Pig. It would be 01305 760384, but he is on the website, peterpig.co.uk.
Right, and I will put a link to that site on my show notes so people can access the details. So when is the next one?
We've not confirmed the date yet, but it will be about around this period next year at the Weymouth Pavilion. It's on the historic seafront, so the fathers can come in and play the games while the mothers and kids can go and play on the beach. As you can see, we're not 30 feet from the beach.
That's right. Okay, all right, I'll let you get back to your game.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the interview. Thank you.
Come on, I have an idea that Batman should look into this.
And don't forget Robin!
It's the car, right? Chicks love the car.
I don't play favorites. Every criminal must be brought to justice.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
I swear to God.
Swear to me!
Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Legends of the Batman. Everything Batman from the beginning at batmanlegends.com.
Are you a man or a mouse?
You put a piece of cheese down there and you'll find out.
You are listening to Weird Stuff on the Zip & Co. podcast show.
Yes, you are indeed listening to Weird Stuff on the Zip & Co. podcast show. The first item is from the Advertiser, Friday, February 25th, 2011. The headline is Extra Special. A pensioner was left shell-shocked when he cracked open an egg to reveal another egg. John Fellows, 68, of Littlemore, Weymouth, was surprised to find a baby egg within an egg while making scrambled eggs. The item goes on to say that the mini-egg was about half an inch long and was being kept by Mr. Fellows for posterity. He said it was most amazing. I assumed the egg was going to be a double yolker. I put it down on its side and never thought anything about it. It was when I went to clear away that I saw the egg inside. It was just sitting there on the shell. It was virtually round and looked like a little marble. Mr. Fellows, a former dairy farmer, said he'd never seen an egg within an egg before. He thought he bought the hen's egg from a store at Littlemore Shopping Precinct. Robert Newbury, chief poultry advisor for the National Farmers Union, said that the double shell was a peculiarity of Mother Nature. Yes, you get two eggs for the price of one. The next report we have is for a Dorset Big Cat. This is from... Where is it from? Big Cats in Britain. I'll put a link on my show notes, of course. The story is Dorset Beast Sightings Near Batcombe Sparks Further Mystery. This is dated Thursday, 13th of January 2011, from the Dorset Echo. The Beast of Dorset has been spotted roaming the countryside again. This time, the large black cat, said to be much larger than the domestic cat, was seen as it ran in front of a council roadworks lorry near Batcombe outside Dorchester. Another Dorset resident has spotted the large black cat near Abbotsbury. Gritter lorry driver Mike Ward said he was at the wheel of the Dorset Works Organisation truck on a road off the A37 when the animal ran in front of him and disappeared through a hedge. And he said it's not the first time he'd seen a large cat. Mr. Ward, age 47, of King's Road, Dorchester, said, "It was too big to be a domestic cat. They passed me across the road and I've seen them before. I saw one at Hardy's Monument before and one at Netherbury near Bridport. Last year's sightings of a large puma-shaped cat by Dorset Echo readers happened in Crossways, Bockhampton and near the Ridgeway." Mr. Ward added, "It was pretty quick across the road and then it went into a hedge and just seemed to disappear. The bloke who was with me was not looking and did not believe me. He thought I was making it up and said I was dreaming." Now, a UFO sighting from Ferndown, Dorset, on the 5th of April 2001. This is from www.uk-ufo.co.uk. The location of the sighting, as I say, was Ferndown, Dorset. Date of sighting was the 5th of April 2011, so it's fairly recent. The time, 10:20 p.m. The witness's name was M. Smith. This is the witness statement. "Walking the dog, I looked north to see a large red glow in the sky. The best way to describe it is like an aeroplane approaching through cloud. Soon after, a single bright red light appeared. Slowly it got closer and lower, then disappeared in the horizon. I waited for a noise or movement. Nothing. It could possibly have been as far away as Cranbourne Chase. Sighting was looking north from Ellesfield Drive, West Parley. My only reasonable explanation is some sort of meteor entering the atmosphere and burning up. Hence the glow followed by a falling light." If anybody has any updates on this case or any cases of Dorset UFOs, they can get in touch with me at zipshow, ZZIPPSHOW, at gmail.com. Or I have a new UFO interest Facebook site now. If you want to go to Facebook and search for Fastwalker 1, that's all one word, Fastwalker 1, number 1, join me there. I'm including all kinds of good stuff. Now we move the location to the centre of Weymouth and a place called the North Fort. Now, I worked at the North Fort for a little time when we were cleaning it up, getting it ready for regeneration. And it was a very, very spooky place, even then. I'll read you a bit of its history from the IPA Awards, International Paranormal Acknowledgement Awards. I'll include a link to this page on my show notes. In 1860, the site, which is now North Fort, was chosen to house a coastal defence as protection against the then threat from French attack. The fort is constructed on three levels. The lowest level, magazine level, was originally designed to store gunpowder and shells. The middle level, gun deck level, was designed to accommodate 12 heavy muzzle-loaded cannons and provide accommodation for the soldiers manning the cannons. The top level formed the ramparts and provided a raised platform that could be used to fire muskets and light muzzle-loaded cannons during attack on the fort. Ghost-wise, legendary ghostly whistling gunner, many people claim to have heard his eerie whistling in the fort's extensive underground passageways. Tales of this phantom have been talked about for decades around Weymouth, and the fort affectionately has a passageway dedicated to him. Who this shade actually is at this time unknown. Other eyewitnesses' reports are that of a white figure seen walking the parapets of the building when it is locked and there should be nobody there. Reports of dark shadows in the corners of rooms mysteriously appearing and then vanishing before reappearing in a different corner of the room. eerie whispers into visitors' ears, leaving them afraid and unnerved. Reports of physical contact, as if somebody had brushed past them in the rush. Strange light anomalies appearing for no apparent reason in the darker areas of the fort. And there are also stories of poltergeist activity, which has left guests panic-stricken. A survey carried out in 2007 by the National Lottery discovered that the fort was voted one of the spookiest locations in the UK. In fact, staff members sometimes refuse to visit certain areas by themselves. So it's definitely spooky. If you get the chance, come down and pay a spooky visit.
When you have eliminated the impossible, Watson, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth.
You are listening to Weird Stuff on the Zip & Co. podcast show.
I could just fancy some cheese, Gromit. What do you say?
Hello? Is anybody there, man?
Hey, welcome to McDoobies, man. Oh. Can I take your order or what?
Yeah, I'd like a McReally Happy Meal, man.
Oh, no problem, man. You want to get fried with that, man?
I sure hope so, man.
Okay.
Hey, is it okay if I fool around in the McDoobie Land room?
Oh, sure. Just don't knock over the bong this time, okay?
All right.
Hey, man. What's
happening? Hey, is it too late to add on to order a hash brownies, man?
Oh, no, man. You always get it your way at this place, man.
Do I?
Yeah. Hey, hit it, guys.
Grab a bag full of tops.
Oh, wow, man.
Just watch out for the cops.
Far out.
Hey, there's no stems and no seeds. Drive around if you please.
Hey, man, you guys make a bacon double wide burger?
You deserve a spliff today. Take one coke and get blown away. At McDoobie's.
Far out, man.
At McDoobie's. At McDoobie's. Oh, man. Oh, it's harsh to hear.
Thanks, man. Wow, there's Mayor McWee.
So that's it for show 20. I'd like to do a couple of shout outs and thanks to various people. The first one is Loretta Hale from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. She recently joined my Twitter feed and it was great to hear from her all the way from Canada. She's a musician, cello, trumpet with Andre and the J Tones Rhythm and Blues Band and Rosetta String Duo. I'll put a link to her website on my show notes. I'd like to say that a new Dorset music guide is now online. A link is on my show notes page on the right-hand side in the links column. Now, I really want to thank my local and worldwide Twitter followers and MySpace, Facebook and LinkedIn friends for really being part of my world. It's great to know you're all out there and listening. I would like to thank Mr. Borry and his staff at the Nuke Bistro and Restaurant Weymouth for the concept of this special show. It was really great fun to put together. And I just want to tell you that there's now an iPhone app available free on iTunes about Dorset UK. Go to iTunes App Store and search for Dorset. Okay, that's it for show 20, and I'll see you on show 21. Thank you. Bye.
A world of cheeses, deliciously made for you and me, flavors like provolone and brie, each with its own ethnicity. So many cheeses are available all around the world for you to eat. Especially good with crackers and meat. Oh, mash and treat thousands of cheeses. The texture of some can be real gooey. Others are quite firm and chewy. Some are better when mildewy, bountiful cheeses. When you take a big whiff of you, will make you want to spew. Especially strong is the cheese of a do. A real stinkeroo. It's incredible just how many kinds there are. From countries near
cheese as big and small. We proudly present to you the Cheese Roll Call.
I am the British cheese Wensley Dale, lightly pressed and smooth textured with a subtle milky flavour which is clean and refreshing.
Welcome, Wensley Dale!
G'day, I am Australian Cheddam, an innocuous golden yellow rinder's block inspired by Cheddar and Edam.
Welcome, Cheddam!
I am the German cheese Edelpilzkäse, a fine blue vein cheese with a pale ivory paste and very dark veins traveling vertically through me.
Welcome, welcome! Thank you, cheeses! I want to eat you all! Oh, how I like my cheeses! Cheese from around the world! Cheese is the taste that pleases! Cheese from around the world! Sing with me, cheese!
Oh, how I like my cheeses! Cheese from around the world!
Everybody!
Cheese is the taste that pleases! Cheese from around the world, around this great big world, around this big cheese world, around this great big world, around this big cheese world!
We must plan for tomorrow night.
Why? What are we going to do tomorrow night?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
The Zip & Co. podcast show is a media presentation by Zip Creatives.